This is Rediscover Life with Pastor John from All Nations Church with your daily message to help you reconnect to your Creator and rediscover life as it can be with Jesus. We're continuing our series called Lord of All, and I'd like to start by reading Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. That word, you know, which was proclaimed throughout all Judea and began from Galilee after the baptism which John preached, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they killed by hanging on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly, not to all the people, but to witnesses chosen before by God, even to us who ate and drank with him after he arose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that it was he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets witness that through his name, whoever believes in him will receive remission of sins." While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit fell upon all those who heard the word. And those of the circumcision who believed were astonished, as many as came with Peter, because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles also. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, "Can anyone forbid water, that these should not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have?" And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then they asked them to stay a few days. What a powerful account of how Cornelius, the first Gentile convert, received Christ, and along with his friends and his family. And I love this man in that he had a heart for his family, for the salvation of his family, for his friends. And I think it's something that we can certainly learn from. But Peter made a very powerful statement in verse 34. Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality," because suddenly his eyes are opened to realize this isn't just for the Jews, this is for the Gentiles. "But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all." And so last week we were just looking at the implications of this short but profound statement that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, and what that means. And, you know, we dealt with the first point with regard to the areas we need to focus on if we want Jesus Christ to be Lord of all. And the first one was our appetites. We looked at Samson, how he was a man with a supernatural calling and exceptional anointing. And yet in spite of this, he lost it all really through his unwillingness to deal with his appetites, to surrender his appetites to the Lord. And I think this is important for us to recognize, because certainly for me as a pastor, I don't just look at qualification. I look at calling, and in particular, I look at character when I consider people that I'm going to work with or put into positions of leadership. You know, character, because the reality is your calling can bring you to places your character won't keep you. And so we need to learn to deal with our appetites. And this is where fasting and prayer is so important, dealing with the flesh, humbling yourself before the Lord. Certainly for ourselves as a church, we had hundreds of people that did a 3-week Daniel fast at the start of the year, and tend to do it every year. It was our second time doing it, but there's something very powerful about surrendering our bodies to the Lord and dealing with the flesh. The thing I love about the Daniel fast is you're getting rid of all of the things that you like, you know, the breads and the chocolate and sweets and the sugar and the caffeine and the meat and all these things that we enjoy eating and consuming. And so people may say, well, what does it really mean, me giving up coffee? It seems like it's such a small thing. Well, you know, if it means something to you, it'll mean something to God. And so this is why, again, it's important to learn to deal with our flesh, and that we're in control of our bodies and that our bodies are not in control of us. I think this is important because, you know, Paul said, I put my flesh under, I put my body under. So he spoke of his body as something not quite separate to him, but ultimately your body isn't the real you, because the time comes and your body dies and that's the end of it. As such, it returns to the dust. But remember, the Bible says we are spirit, soul and body. And that's why Paul prayed, I pray that your spirit, soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so this is why we need to learn to put our flesh under and deal with it. We saw how David, in spite of his anointing and accomplishment and calling, because he refused to deal with the flesh, was defeated by the flesh and ends up committing adultery and having all sorts of repercussions in his family, in his leadership, even in the nation. And, you know, he gave opportunity for the enemies of God to mock and to criticize. And so, as long as we're carnal, we aren't prepared for the master's use. 2 Timothy 2:20 talks about prepared to do any good work. Those who cleanse themselves from the latter will be instruments for special purposes, made holy, useful to the master and prepared for every good work. So we need to be prepared to do the work of God. Like I said, as long as we're carnal, we aren't prepared for the master's use. And so, again, we need to humble ourselves. We need to repent of those areas where we've walked in the flesh. That's why the Bible says, walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. We need to learn how to walk in the Spirit. This is so important. You know, Romans 12, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and do not be conformed to this world, but what? Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. God has called us to be transformed, and but key to that transformation is us presenting our bodies. And so Christ must be Lord of our appetites. Secondly, Christ must be Lord of our emotions. This is so important, because if you're not in control of your emotions will be in control of you. And that is not a good place to be. This is why many times people end up getting divorced, or losing jobs, or even ending up in prison as a consequence of unchecked emotions, because not everything that you feel like doing should be done. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary to one another, so that you do not do the things that you wish. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ's have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let's also walk in the Spirit. Let's not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. And so Galatians chapter 5 has a lot to say about our emotions and learning to control our emotions. Because the Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. So we choose love, not anger. Joy, you know, we choose joy, not despair. Peace, we choose peace, not strife. Patience, not, you know, like I said, losing our temper. Kindness, as opposed to vindictiveness or looking for revenge. Goodness, as opposed to badness. Faithfulness, as opposed to unfaithfulness. Gentleness, as opposed to violence. Self-control. So you could say, to some degree, every one of these points to some degree are affected by our emotions. And I love the way that it finishes with self-control. We need to be self-controlled with regard to our emotions. This is so important, because if we're not self-controlled, we will be giving in to anger and emotional outbursts and lust or fear, all sorts of emotions that are really toxic, not just to us, but to those around us. You know, many times, because people have been unable or unwilling to deal with their emotions, they end up losing relationships, they end up getting divorced or being alienated from their children or losing jobs or having all sorts of dysfunction, all sorts of physical manifestations in their body. Because again, if you don't know how to control your emotions, you're going to have a lot of these toxic emotions that are going to affect you physically, because how you act affects how you feel. And, if you're constantly stirring up strife with others, you're constantly running on adrenaline, that's not healthy. If you're not at peace, you know, the Bible says, they which have believed have entered into rest. And so, you know, there's a rest of God that the Lord wants us to walk in. There's a peace that the Bible says passes understanding. And so I don't know what we're going to face in this year to come, but Christ must be Lord of our emotions if we want to make it. We must give no place to self-pity or to self-indulgence or to lust or to frustration or to anger. Ephesians 4 verse 27 says, neither give place to the devil. So don't give place to your emotions. We must rule our emotions, or else our emotions will rule and ruin us. And God doesn't want that to happen. So again, let's ensure that Jesus Christ is Lord of all, including our emotions. This is Pastor John from All Nations Church, thanking you for listening today. Hope you can join us again tomorrow right here on UCB Ireland. Shalom.